we're not shy. And we're not shy either. It's Bob, Spike, and Joe. Good morning. I'm Bob Rivers. What does May Day mean?
Used to be the biggest day in the communist calendar. They trot out all the missiles and parade them through Red Square and think about how superior they were, even though bread was $18 a loaf and you couldn't get toilet paper that wouldn't rub the skin right off your ass.
Is it also true that they had bad toilet paper? I just heard it was scarce.
No, bad.
Real rough.
Like the
stuff they have in Department of Transportation buildings?
Oh, you wish.
You know the kind I'm talking about?
I do, exactly.
You know the kind that's on the really big round roll and it has no perforated tears?
It's called chunky style.
And they have locks on those rolls, like anybody would want to steal it.
Like you would
want
to bring that home.
Hide that under your shirt.
I can't get this anywhere. I don't know who makes that. You know, we ought to call the company that makes that toilet paper. You've experienced it, usually in state government-run buildings. It must be the cheapest thing going on the planet. The problem with it is...
How much time do we have?
Well, first off, the way they make the thing, you can never tear it without it coming out crooked. So you take about five times as much as you need. And it doesn't do, you know, product quality-wise, it doesn't do a very good job.
Mm-mm.
And so you end up using a lot more.
Sure, you have to reach up into the plastic circle itself because it tore wrong and had it rolled back up inside. You can't even get to it.
Yeah. Wild stuff. So is it like that in Russia?
They wish.
Yeah.
And it's gotten worse since the fall of communism. Democracy hasn't quite... We got a couple hundred years under our belt, so things work pretty smooth. But over there, the systems to put all this stuff into place aren't quite up and running yet. So the black market runs most of the distribution of goods in democratic Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So these people have gone from the frying pan to the fire.
What else was May Day? May Day is something you say when your ship is sinking, right?
Yep, May Day, May Day, help.
Wonder what that means. I mean, why May Day? I mean, realize it's usually stormy in May, and water may still be cold in some places. May Day.
I wish I knew the origin of that one.
Don't know that one at all. Now, I thought also, and I was wrong, obviously, because Earth Day was last week.
Last Sunday.
I thought that Earth Day had fallen on May 1st. And in some years, did they move it?
I don't think
so. Or is it always been before?
I think isn't Earth Day always on a weekend? I believe it's like the fourth Sunday of April.
I don't know. Okay, maybe it's really close to May 1st sometimes.
Right.
And I think May Day may have had something to do with the Maypole and a celebration of spring at some point in time, too. I think you might be right about that. And maybe Earth Day was on May 1st.
Well, the thing about it, Earth Day would be really good for May Day, because then all you folks who think that, you know, the planet is, you know, dying, May Day, May Day.
And May Day, I think, has been celebrated for probably longer than anybody would know. It was basically short for thank God we survived another winter. I mean, after you've hit May 1st, you know the worst is over. No more snow, no more bad weather.
Well, today is May 1st, the year 2001. Who thought you'd live to see 2001?
I remember as a kid thinking about it. Wow, I'll be like 38.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's like dinosaur town.
I did too when
life
I was a
kid. Life will be
over, man. I used to look at that faraway date, 2000. Mm-hmm. Then when the movie came out, 2001, I used to think that would be really something to see. I figured we'd hop on these little, you know, strap on these space packs and scoot around town through the air.
I'm a little disappointed that I'm still living where I am. I figured I'd be at Mars or somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere better.
Station.
Yeah. Not that I don't love it here on Earth, but I thought we'd be having our options by 2001.
At this point, I must say, I'm very disappointed with the future now that it's here. I expected...
Still can't get a good roll of toilet paper.
No, that's true. In a public building.
Right.
I expected that humanity would make some progress. I expected that we would, all learn to get along. I expected that racism thing would be cleaned up in the mid-70s, latest.
They give them 10 years to clean it up from the 60s through the 70s.
Right, through the riots,
I figured. Just to get the last corner pockets of redneck.
I thought this was good for humanity. This is going to be an educational experience, and we'll all learn that it's pointless.
But then disco showed up and derailed the whole growth process.
I think so. Yeah. And as far as inventions go, here in the future, what have we got? 500 channels of cable TV. 500. Wow. At this rate, by the year 2525, if man is still alive, we'll have 5,000. You'll be able to have the people picking their nose channel.
You know, I thought a lot about space travel and stuff, but never did I think about, like, free porno on a computer. I mean,
no.
There's a lot of innovations that have come along.
That's a major innovation.
I never anticipated. Not that I...
All the free live sex you want is an actual fact of life now. Not live, necessarily. You have to pay for that. So I've been told. I don't know.
Well, the first month is free.
Well, then they bill your credit card. Yeah. Anyway, those little... I'm sorry. What? That is one of the major technological advances of our age.
Yeah,
everybody's house has a free porno connection.
And an everything connection. Nobody talked about an internet 30 years ago. They talked about going to the moon. Even the cell phone, they talked a little bit about communicators and stuff, but nobody really talked about a global...
Joe, you're changing the subject. I want to talk about
porn.
Porn. Let's talk about progress.
We're brand new. We need ratings.
We better talk about more than...
Isn't it comforting to know that you're not the only one who finds some of this stuff interesting, though? I mean, the really weird fringe stuff?
What do you mean? I don't know. Now I don't know. I don't know you.
Oh, you know, spackling, group stuff.
You have found spackling?
Sure.
What's spackling? I don't know what that is. And I do not. Do not elaborate. I thought it was something to do with people who are, you know what spackle is?
I do know what spackle
is. Construction product.
Yes, it is.
And I think
Bondo.
And you use a trowel with this?
No, I think it's hand applied for most cases.
Because I would, spackling, that'd be kind of cool. You know, you would tape and sand a person.
Get a nice smooth finish.
Yeah.
Mud and taper.
Yeah, and there is weird stuff there. And that's the part that actually I don't even want to pay attention to because I know it. I read this large article in Yahoo last week that said that whether you are aware of it or not, especially your children, have access to everything you could possibly think of. In fact, you just, if you think of it, type it in, hit search, bingo. And you know what's funny? In Russia, they still have the awful toilet paper, but if you can scrape up a computer somewhere, you too.
Look at the shaved and saggy. Who knew that was available in home?
Only I mean, unless it's blocked out. I don't know how they can block. I mean, we've seen from Napster, we're blocking as fast as we can.
Yeah.
And supposedly the Chinese are blocked out of all that, but how do we know? I mean, because we're kind of blocked out from knowing what they're doing, and even if we got one of their websites, we wouldn't be able to read it anyway, so we really don't know.
By the way, you mostly know this stuff if you're a guy. I mean, my wife does not sit there going, I think I'll type. Spackle my butt. Enter.
She doesn't do that.
You know.
How many hours a day are you not home?
Me?
Yeah.
How many am I not home?
How many hours a day are you out of the house?
Well, I'm here 8, 10. Yeah.
Okay. Almost half the day.
I'm sleeping 6, 8, so.
And you got how many computers at home?
8, 10. No, 4. 4 to 6, depending on which ones are plugged in.
And you think your wife hasn't typed in spacklemybutt.com?
No, I don't think she... No, she wouldn't have... No, she... No.
Len thinks she has.
Nah, I don't think so.
But see, you're guys. No, I'm telling you, women don't...
How could a human not take advantage of this boon in technology?
No, women are... she's been to the Martha Stewart website many times. She's shopped. She's paroused.
But Martha
perused,
makes the spackle look good.
Huh?
Martha makes that spackling look good.
You know, it would make Martha look good, a little spackling. So, it's, It's a freaky world out there. And I think mostly guys are paying attention to it. I think women, for the most part, are not aware. And it's, you know, because the women are watching their kids. Ma, I got to do a project on my computer.
Get dad off.
Yeah.
How do you mean that?
Hold on. Let's, just to check, let's, Maura's been working on the news. Let's check in with Maura. Maura?
Yes?
What sort of exploration do you do on the internet?
Not what you guys are talking
about.
Yeah,
you don't
I'll
sit around and type, you know, guy with monstrous one.
No, never.
Enter.
One time I typed in genealogy for my mom because she was interested in doing some research, and up popped XXX, and it was like, oh, all right, next.
Did you do the thing where you close the window and other windows kept opening up?
Yeah, for about 2 hours.
That's you know what that's for?
No, but
that's so guys will get caught.
Yeah.
Is that how women invented that?
Yeah. You close the window. Really well, actually, you know what it's really for?
The so web, they can the get wet, a cookie
well,
on you?
No, the oh. So you could get cookie on you?
Hey.
Maybe she's doing a little more look-at-lily thing. No, the website operators sell ad banners for, like, pennies. And the more ad banners you look at, the more they get paid. And so what these things do is they keep going bloop, 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 bloop. It's like a machine gun fire of ads, hoping you'll click one.
Do they know how long you're looking at them?
Nope.
It just matters that they open up
that
on your desktop.
Open.
Right.
Okay. They know how many hits if it opens.
Right. Have you seen the animated ads? The ones where there's actual action in the ad?
Like the smack the monkey, win $500 kind of things?
Depends on what you mean when you're saying monkey,
smack
but
smack that monkey, yeah girl.
Have you seen those?
I have seen those.
I spent a little time online.
Well, I've seen them on Excite.com.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, very Excite.
How about Andy?
I don't know. I don't think so. I actually really don't believe he does.
Newlywed husband.
I got nothing left to give the internet.
Bob Rivers in the morning. Former Beatle Paul McCartney was on Good Morning America, where he made a rather startling confession. The billionaire recording artist, one of the richest men in Britain, and he's also an author, I guess. If you write songs, does that make you an author, or do you have to write a bad book at least?
Oh, he's written a lot of great songs and a bad book, so
all right.
I think he qualifies either way.
Paul McCartney said in a poem that his former wife and bandmate, Linda, sometimes visits him from the great beyond in the form of a white squirrel that steps up and looks at him in the woods.
Wanting his peanut, I imagine, as Linda might have. Actually, I read this, and he's very serious about it.
Yeah, he believes that Linda is coming back to visit him in the woods as a white squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's obviously still smoking.
Smoking pot, as he always did.
Yeah.
Paul was the Beatle who got busted at the airport, right? And was that Japan?
Yep, banned in Japan.
He was kept out of Japan as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
We did think this was a little strange, but not that strange. After all, John Lennon visits us by the phone from heaven from time to time.
Nothing strange about that.
Ah, not at all. In fact, he's on the phone right now, the immortal John Lennon calling us from the hereafter. John, are you there?
Hello, Bobby.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Hello, how's life on Earth there?
Well, it's pretty good down here, John. We still miss you, man. The music still sucks.
Oh, no, it's a bit of a stretch down there without the Beatles. And
yeah.
It's a long and winding road, isn't it?
Well, it is. We had a little grunge for a while, but then that crapped out, too.
All right, well, we've got Kurtie up here, Kurtie Cobain.
Kurt Cobain. Do you see Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, constantly, yeah.
Does he still
have... You're bleeding on me bloody floor.
He's bleeding, yes.
All my robes are all spotty. Please, put a little bit of bandage on or something.
So is it like that movie, American Werewolf in London, with Kurt? Is he walking around with half his head hanging off?
Well, if he wants to. You know, that's the thing about heaven. You can have whatever you like.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Kurtie. Look at me open wound. Look at me open wound every day. So put a wig on or something for the love of God.
How about you? How do you look in the hereafter?
I look at me Carvin days, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Got me leather jacket. got me pompadour hairdo.
Yeah.
No drippy drippy from me dongy anymore, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I remember reading about that.
It's a seven. It's what you want it to be.
Uh-huh.
That's very reassuring to hear that Kurt Cobain made it to heaven. I didn't know
he's a good man. He just had a bad wife.
Yeah, you take your own life. I heard that that's what makes it harder to get in.
Yeah, but if you're trying to get away from Courtney, they give you a special. All right.
Ticket, Bobby, like that. Time spent in hell. That's what it was there.
Time served on earth.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. I imagine up there in heaven you get to hear about a lot of things, but I don't know how much attention you pay to Earth television.
We like that Survivor series, don't we?
You like Survivor?
Oh, yeah. It's a bit of a fancy up here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, reality is what we're all about, you know. Yeah. We know everything that goes on down there.
All right. Well, then you know about Paul McCartney yesterday on Good Morning America.
Oh, yeah. We watched Paulie tell his little poem about Linda and the squirrely thing.
Yeah,
I think Paulie may have left a few details out of his little poem.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Paulie walking in the woods, picking magic mushrooms, sticking feathers in his hair and spinning porcupine dung on his face. He and up walks Linda, form of a white squirrel, plays with his nuts, you know. Look at my...
I didn't hear some of that, and I think that's good.
No, I think he cleaned it up a bit for the American telly.
So now, you were up there. Is Linda part of rock and roll heaven?
No. Linda's part of heaven, all right, but we don't let her in the barn. She's always over. Can I sing with the band, Johnny? Can I sing with the band?
Now, hey, wait a minute, John. You know, Yoko wasn't the greatest singer either.
Not saying she's going to get in the band either, mate. We'll deal with that when it gets here.
Yeah. So does Linda go to visit Paul?
I think Linda does go and visit Paul's little squirrely. You know, that way, it's the same squeaky little voice she had on Earth, you know. I think it's comforting for Paul. Right. He doesn't have a lot left, you know.
At least the squirrel won't want to sing in his album.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, there's a bit of an upside there.
Paul is, of course, very lonely since Linda passed on.
Oh, yes, yes. And I think if I were alive today and Yoko had passed on, if things had been reversed, uh-huh. I'd probably see Yoko come and visit me as well. Uh-huh. Of course, it wouldn't be as a cute little squirrel. It'd be as a wild lion ripping entire villages with wide open blood dripping from her mouth. Oh, there's Yoko right there, yeah.
Do you ever go back and visit Yoko or any of your sons as a little squirrel or anything else, John?
You know, most people in heaven do make return trips to Earth.
They do. There are really ghosts.
Oh, we go by in busloads. We go down. Usually it's the women's showers and swimsuit issue photo shoots and things like that. But,
yeah.
Some of them like to, you know, be seen, but it's not my cup of tea.
Now, you know that Paul is dating a one-legged model, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I think he's trying to win some favor with the Lord here. You know, dating the handicapped and all that. I can't say as I blame him. She's a lovely thing.
She is very beautiful.
All right, besides, with just one leg, there's less to get out of the way. It's scroggum time, you know what I mean?
Oh.
I'd like to be under the sheets with a one-legged cutie model getting laid.
Twisted Tunes.
I'm not the child. turned out like a piece of crap. This is way worse than being shot, I can tell you that.
Well, CNN has a new anchor coming soon. Her name is Andrea Thompson, and you probably recognize her from NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm.
She was a hottie on that show. She's been off it for a while, but she's got a credibility problem, apparently, because some of the CNN staffers have been bashing her skills or lack of in some of the other media. So we thought we would talk to Robert Thompson. He is a professor at Syracuse University, and he's the head of the Center for Popular Television.
The Center for the Study of Popular Television.
Yes.
Yes.
And I believe we've got him on the line with us.
So he's going to comment on the new CNN news anchor who, by the way, I understand, she's naked on the Internet. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, yes, she is.
All right.
She's been naked in film.
Robert, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing better now that I have a reason to watch CNN. I think that's great. How about
you? Well, that's the whole plan.
Yeah, we're guys. We're guys. And we like naked women. I mean, come on.
Well, she's not going to be reading headline news naked.
No, but there's a website for that, nakednews.com.
Yeah, there is.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but I suppose that's now part of my research, so I'm going to have to go check it out.
Go to www.nakednews.com. It's a Canadian station. And it's done exactly as if it were a major network. And it's just news.
Well, you know, it's how well Andrea Thompson is at this is, I think, yet to be determined. We haven't seen it. She went out and when she left NYPD Blue and went out and started paying her dues on a small market, I think that was kind of admirable. The thing that I think's got people bothered here is that by the time you get your job on CNN or CBS or NBC, the idea is that you've kind of, worked in the cauldron of local journalism for an internship that lasts a little bit longer than I think hers is 11 months.
Unless you got nice boobs. Hey, do me a favor before we go further for the guys that are listening. Which one was she on NYPD Blue?
Short-haired blonde.
Well, she was only there for the first season and a half.
The one with the pixie cut?
Yes.
Oh, she wasn't that good looking anyway. I mean, she had nice phenomenon.
Yeah, she's not a thunderbolt, but she's attractive. She's easy on the eyes.
She's easy on the eyes, but she's not an absolute thunderbolt.
Right.
In fact, she had a kind of a disciplined, serious look about her, I believe.
And as you know from Ann Robinson on Weakest Link, disciplined and seriousness is very hot these days.
It's very hot, yeah.
Heard some stories about her,
Goodbye.
Too, but that's a different
show. What did you hear about her?
Oh, she's in the tabloids now. Apparently, she has had a few drunken nude rages over
him. Excellent.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's the nudist link.
Professor, so if I understand you correctly, you are not thrilled that CNN has lowered their standards a little bit below the neckline.
Well, I think probably first of all, we've got to realize that news has been show business from the get-go. So there's a good degree that this is really business as usual. And I think there's also a sense that CNN, which was always kind of the straightest of the news, MSNBC, of course, had all its headliners and legends and Time and Again and all these kinds of things that got them through the lean months between stories of the century. Like
between wars we manufacture to keep the price of oil down. I understand.
And I think CNN now is going in that direction. They've got now people in the news.
But they're getting their ass kicked by Fox. They have to. They have to do something.
They've realized that their idea of just playing straight news, not a lot of personalities. Larry King was one of the only really identifiable people there. And I think with the placement of Andrea Thompson, they're starting to move in that direction. She may turn out to be a wonderful news person, and as long as she's just reading news, she really doesn't need to be a journalist.
Absolutely.
But if she starts reporting, and I understand that there are some reporting elements to her job, the question is, you know, when you've been 10 years in small markets, you get to make mistakes where they don't have as much of an impact. You get to deal with your ethical issues, and by the time you make it to the big time, you've kind of gone through all that. And
you know, Robert, did you see the movie... What was the one with Tia Leone? No, Tia Leone with, was it Sudden Impact? The one where she was the CNN-like reporter?
Right.
And you could look at her and you could go, oh, for crying out loud, no news network would ever hire a ditz like that. Now that movie wouldn't look so stupid, right?
Oh, yeah, all these movies about TV from 10, 15 years ago are becoming documentaries as we speak.
Right, Network, the movie Network.
Right, yeah, network compared to some of the, compared to Chains of Love is nothing.
Is it true she doesn't even have a high school diploma, though?
Well, now that I didn't even know, although there are other, that's not a prerequisite for being a good journalist.
I know.
We don't have diplomas,
you
Joe.
You can't work at 7-Eleven without a high school diploma, yet you can
you
be...
You can't work at 7-Eleven?
I don't think so, not without graduating high school, or at least getting an equivalency. You've got to be able to count money.
But you can be on at 6-Eleven. That's pretty cool.
Well, there are fine journalists who have not got solid traditional educations. We're not asking her to teach English literature at Harvard, yeah, after all.
I think Peter Jennings is one.
But the problem is those fine journalists without that experience in school tended to get it on the job, and she's got neither.
Right. Professor, you've had a chance to talk with Maura, our news gal, a little bit, right?
Right.
She's had how many years, Maura?
Oh, I think 13.
13 years in the trenches in radio broadcast news, including 24-hour news departments. She's pretty hot.
Journalism degree from one of the finest schools in the country.
Which one is that?
WSU.
Well,
actually, no. That's
an exaggeration.
That's a huge broadcast school.
Edward
R.
Murrow.
One of the finest schools of the Palouse.
Edward R. Murrow came from there.
That's right. Did he really?
Yes.
And she
broke that story about the governor groping women behind the bar because she was one of them.
Well, Professor, do you think people should just, do we not care anymore who's giving us the news? Is it all show business?
Well,
that's discouraging.
An awful lot of people giving us the news are hired to read it. And in that respect, I suppose you might as well be hiring good-looking people. I mean, the main prerequisite for a news reader is that, A, you can read off a teleprompter, B, you can keep eye contact with the camera, and C, not get too flustered when there's little crises. Sending someone out in the field to do reporting is a whole different situation.
Yeah, but see, I like my women flustered. I pay to see that.
Well, that's what we have local news for.
Well, and the local young hotties are one of the few things keeping local news alive. Because we can go to the internet.
That CNN won't report on the new elephant at the zoo in your hometown.
Yeah, but right, okay. Oh, well, we really need that. We can go to the internet and look at the local newspaper 24 hours a day. I can go to king5.com. I could go to whatever your local station is. You can get your local news now 24 hours a day instantaneously. So unless the local news has young hotties on it, the men are gone. And unless the CNN does something to compete with Fox, which is going with the whole right-wing thing, you know, the Ditto channel, unless CNN does something to make it hotter, they're dead in the water. So let me ask you this, Professor, because obviously you're a studied guy and you seem to care. What would you do?
Well, if I would have been running CNN, I would hope that...
You would hope? Hope doesn't get ratings.
Well,
hope,
you know,
doesn't pay the bills.
I can't say because I'm not doing it. If I were there, I had the stockholders breathing down my neck, and I'd have been at Fox. I don't know. I might have put
You'd
on...
You'd have a little casting couch yourself. Come on, Professor.
But there are certain... I mean, clearly CNN has got to do something, and I think probably the MSNBCing of 24-hour news is an inevitability and not necessarily a terrible thing. I don't think people in the news is the end of broadcast journalism as we know it. In this respect, I'm just not sure that the benefits that she brings to that network, the potential of higher ratings, and we don't even know if she's going to bring that, is worth the bringing to everybody's attention what they've been accusing the news for doing so long anyway, and that's precisely what this hire has done.
That is true, Professor, but here you are talking about CNN. I mean, do you think they're sitting there going, damn, he's slamming us? No, they're going,
CNN, he said it right again.
He said it again.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And every time one of these morality in the media people come out and complain about Temptation Island and all the rest of it, they may as well have been putting them on the payroll of the promotional department. You're absolutely right. We feed right into it.
Professor, but this is nothing like Temptation Island or the dumbing down of TV. All a news anchor is, essentially, is an actor and a story reader. I mean, if you saw broadcast news, William Hurt's character, it was vacuous.
This is how Spike gets his knowledge, by the way, from the movie.
But how
take that into account.
How
go ahead.
Accurate was that? I mean, come on. The one character who was a brilliant journalist and a great reporter and knew everything got on camera and had flop sweats. Nobody wanted to watch that, but William Hurt's character could sell a story and make you feel comfortable giving you the news.
Even though he had no clue.
No clue.
And you know, that's a perfectly good point. If people are simply reading the news, we really ought to assess what it is that they need to be able to do. And if they're not doing any reporting, if they're not doing breaking news that's coming over the desk where they need to be doing analysis, it's true. Why should we complain that we're hiring someone who's able to read really well so that, A, we can understand it, and, B, we don't walk away in the middle of their story? My understanding, though, is that she's going to be also doing some reporting and other things, and then that moves us into an entirely different place.
Professor Robert Thompson, Center for the Study of Popular Television, Syracuse, New York. Professor, in your research, have you searched, for JPEGs on the Internet just so you could say, I did my research?
Right. Like I say, someone, if we're going to talk about this stuff, we've got to be well informed.
That's right. Yeah. Andrea Thompson is on CNN now, and she's naked on the Internet. Thank you so much, Professor.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Have a good day.
How can you trust a news anchor whose nipples don't match, for God's sake? She has two different sized nipples.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, no women.
See,
all women are a little different from side to side. I'll say that.
Well, all human beings
sure
are different from side to side. I was looking at my picture the other day, and, there's a natural wish that your both eyes would match. And I got one eye goes a little this way, one goes the other way. I said, you know what? That's it. That's what it is. I imagine most women have slightly different.
I've heard that no two are exactly alike.
Really?
In fact,
usually, I'm just so happy to see them. I don't even really,
You're here.
It's like legs.
Are they slightly different more?
I don't. They're pretty close.
They're both the same?
Yeah, they're both pretty close. They're huge in spirit and small in
size.
Exactly.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Florida has a newspaper ad that encourages tobacco workers to just quit, give it up. Quit the company, stop making tobacco. It kills people. Give it up.
Well, maybe some of them didn't know.
I think by now. No. You think so?
No.
Oh, okay.
In case you didn't hear about it, this stuff causes cancer and your lungs to fall out. Did you know that?
I was going to say, yeah.
God.
I took out these full-page ads on Take Your Daughter to Work Day in papers all over the country and said, hey, would you want to take your daughter to work? Can you do that with a clean conscience when you're...
When you make tobacco? Yeah. Daddy, what do? I make stuff that kills people. Want to come and watch?
Okay. Can we go to McDonald's on the way to work?
Oh, that's stuff that kills. We can't say that. That big advertiser. McDonald's is good for you. Good for your heart. No, but you know what I mean? It's where do you draw the line of what's good or bad for you? Tobacco, pretty clean. If you eat McDonald's responsibly, If you eat five fries bags a day, supersized, then you hurt yourself.
You may be in trouble, yeah.
I don't know if you can eat too many carrots, though, can you? Anybody ever die of carrot poisoning, Mike?
If you eat too many carrots, you can turn orange. Then that's true.
You really can turn orange.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
See? So anything in excess. But, I don't think there's a responsible amount. Here's a bunch of things. We could list the things that there's no responsible amount of. Heroin.
I'm a casual user.
Yes, only at parties and my son's graduation.
I've never really caused any problems financially or health-wise.
Still have a great job at the center.
And I think that tobacco, I hate to say it because I know it's legal and people make a living at it, I think tobacco is just as bad as heroin. Maybe even worse because we've made it legitimate. Even though we know it kills you.
And it's a lot easier to get than heroin.
Yeah.
Not
only that, but there's no such thing as secondhand heroin, I was in the room and I caught the secondhand heroin buzz.
This is a no heroin restaurant, sir. I'm going to put that away.
Actually, they have those in Seattle.
Oh, God.
You have to say,
Shooting or non-shooting?
But with tobacco, it's, as much as, and liquor is kind of the same way, although liquor can be done responsibly. My wife, Lisa, I quit drinking 13, 12, 11, a while ago. And I quit because I didn't know when to stop.
Yeah, I hear you. I remember you.
You remember?
Yeah, you were fun, right. Man.
You knew the last
so
couple
fun.
Of years. I used to be really
That's
funny.
That's how we met.
I would be so talented if I'd only kept it up.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, you don't. You didn't have that little moderation gene that a lot of people carry with them, and they can do what they want to do in moderation.
But alcohol can be done in moderation. There are people. Now, I'm not one of them. My wife is. My wife will pour a glass of wine, and she will. This is like blows me away. She will leave some in the bottom.
What?
She'll say, "Oh, that's enough."
You gonna finish it?
Well, that's the hardest part about quitting for me was looking at all the undrunk alcohol in the house.
I hear you.
So, but with tobacco, here you have a known carcinogen, a known product that kills. You also know that it's a drug. You know it's addictive. Some say as addictive as heroin. Frankly, I don't even think the buzz is worth it. I mean, when I was a teenager, you know, I snuck some packs of cigarettes. When I was a teenager, it was really easy to diss on your parents because they smoked. And it was built in. You know, they couldn't tell you not to smoke. And
that cigarettes I smell on your breath? Oh, that's me. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's mine. My bad.
You know, so I knew I didn't have to even justify smoking. They smoked. And I did. I had a pack. Hid it in the bicycle cellar. Nothing I ever hid as a kid got unfound for more than 24 hours.
How's that happen?
I don't know.
It's like parent radar.
I think
man.
There were secret cameras back then. Anyway, the thing about tobacco is simply put, you know, you should all just face. I agree with this ad in Florida. The thing about it is that it just kills. I think we should put that on the side of the pack. It just kills.
Who was that comedian who said, I just look for the packs that say may cause harm to unborn fetuses? I'm not going to get pregnant. I'm safe. That was a great little
line,
scheme, yeah. But liquor's just as bad. If you think, you know, you smoke 20 cigarettes a day, imagine doing 20 shots a day. Your liver is just as doomed as your lungs are at that point.
Right, but you could do one or two drinks a day, and studies actually say that it's not harmful to you. And in fact, some studies say that one or two drinks a day is good for you, but I think they're sponsored by
Seagram's.
Yeah. But I mean, one or two, there's no argument. You cannot smoke one or two cigarettes a day and say, well, that's just enough to give the lungs a little workout. Freshens them up. Makes them a little happy. Makes them know they're alive. Makes them appreciate the good air. No, it's just bad. It just kills. So I think this was a great idea. Who paid for the ad, Joe?
The Florida State Department of Health. And they took out ads not only in Florida, but in North Carolina and Virginia, all the tobacco states where thousands of people are employed. And they were full-page ads. They weren't cheap. And said, you know, if you're taking your daughter to work today and you work for Philip Morris or Brown and Williamson, what are you thinking?
Right.
But at the same time, that Philip Morris stock puts your kids in a mighty nice college. I mean,
has it been? I don't think it's been good lately, has it, with all the government lawsuits and everything?
They ain't paid any of those lawsuits yet, dude.
That's
Remember?
True, but it hasn't been good for the stock. Can't be good for the stock.
Well, in the long term, they pay unprecedented dividends, and they make tons of money. Tobacco is drugs, and you make a lot of money selling drugs.
Yeah. You can never go wrong buying a stock on... This gets people hooked. That sounds a good idea to me.
Saddleson, more to God!
We once called a hair salon in Salem to argue with people about whether smoking was bad for you. We actually got a woman on who said smoking was not bad for you. I mean, if you hang around in Salem, a place the cigarette's named after it, if you hang around there, people will, they're kind of in denial.
It's their number one cash crop. It's what the town was built on.
The Florida State Department of Health recently took out full-page ads all over tobacco country. The ad read, on Take Your Daughter to Work Day, would you? Frank Pinella is the communications director of the Florida State Department of Health. The point of the ads, as I understand it, was to discourage people from feeling good about working for a company that makes stuff that kills people. Is that right?
Yes. This is Blanca Mesa, though, not Frank Pinella. Hi, how are you?
Sorry.
Hello, Blanca.
Well, the point
what
of
happened
ads...
to Frank?
Well,
he died of lung cancer.
He's been silenced.
Okay, no, I'm sorry.
He had an emergency, yeah. So here I am.
All right, Blanca, thank you for filling in.
No problem. Well, the point of the ads really is to try to reach out to any ex-tobacco employees, tobacco company employees who might be out there who want to speak out and tell the truth about what Big Tobacco is up to.
Ah. Well, you know, it was Take Your Daughter to Work Day. So it
right.
seemed to be the point of the ad to have people feel guilty about where they're working. Isn't that a part of it, too?
Well, the ad showed a cigarette production line. I mean, it was to appeal to employees.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do decide to quit, then we want to recognize that as an act of showing that they have a conscience about what product their company produces, which essentially kills people.
Right. I'm with you. We were talking about this earlier, Blanca. I can't believe it's still legal. And, you know, like, I mean, here's what they should do. They should do with it what people do with pot who don't want to smoke it. You should be able to buy tobacco brownies. Maybe that'd be better for you. Wouldn't it?
Well, I just want to stress that the Florida Truth Campaign is the campaign that was created to try to get a message out to teen smokers.
It's nothing to do about brownies. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is illegal for, you know, people under 18 to smoke, to purchase cigarettes.
Right.
But in fact, teenagers have been the tobacco company's best customers,
right.
And a lot of their advertising has centered around trying to appeal to the teen smoker.
Right. Now, you mentioned this particular program. What was it called again?
It's called the Truth Campaign.
The Truth Campaign.
Right. And it's created to appeal to teens. They have a lot of television commercials. It's edgy. It uses a lot of humor. And this is part of it. But one of the most important aspects is it's honest. It doesn't have a mm-hmm. don't smoke because it's bad for you message, because that's not reaching teens.
Now, this is the Florida
information.
Blanca, this is the Florida State Department of Health. So I assume this is government paid for, right?
It's actually paid for through the tobacco settlement. A lot of states settled with cigarette companies
right.
A few years ago, and they've used the money to educate the public about smoking. And this program was created just to appeal to teenagers, which is a whole different market.
That's pretty bizarre, though, when you figure it's their money and you're using it against them. That's good thinking.
Hoisted by their own petard.
It's guerrilla warfare. You take their ammo and you shoot it against them.
I know that there's a lot of people that start smoking when they're kids. Do you have any statistics of people that wait till they're like 40 and say, hell, you know, I think I'll start smoking?
Well, the best evidence of all that is the tobacco company's own memos, internal memos, which have been sort of revealed through this campaign. And Philip Morris' internal memo, the really famous one, is the quote is, "Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer." So long ago, the tobacco companies figured out that this is the way to go. And they know that if they get you young, you're hooked for life.
Absolutely.
So they're trying to do that.
Blanca,
that's where they start.
Blanca, how old are you, darling, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, I do mind.
Come on, Blanca. You sound hot. You're young, right?
I'm young, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced?
I can admit to that.
That was a safe question. Have you ever smoked at all in your life?
Have I smoked?
Wait a minute. If you repeat,
I never inhaled. No.
You did, didn't you? We all tried it. Everyone tries it at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of peer pressure,
yeah.
And so at some point, you know, it comes up. But yeah. the point is, do you move from that step of trying it as an experiment to actual addiction? And it's actually very close, very close. To once you start trying,
it's
easy to become addicted.
Blanca, you don't want to talk about you, do you?
No.
But how old were you when, like, were you just like 16?
I think, yeah, teenage years. Those are the vulnerable years.
And were you going out with a guy who smoked, probably?
No.
Well, Blanca,
Blanca.
By the way,
you've made your point beautifully.
No, wait, hold on. We're friendly. We agree with you.
You have made your point brilliantly.
We're just trying to bring out the human side here.
Yeah, Wes, that's the whole thing. You've made
We know that that's what happens. Peer pressure is very great. And when you have it coupled with the kind of advertising that appeals to teenagers,
mm-hmm.
anything from, you know, what?
Joe Camel was cool.
But you have a lot of ads that just appeal to teenagers. Yeah. It's you know, where they're selling cigarettes through youth, through you know, sex and
right.
those yes. kind of things. You see them all over the place. Those mm-hmm. are the kind of ads that lure teenagers into.
She dated the Marlboro man.
Yeah,
I'm convinced of it.
So, Blanca, the kids hear all this messages, and you're right, they're working on it, but what works best is somebody like you who, tell the kids how you got taken in.
How did you quit?
Well, I never became addicted. No, I'm not.
You didn't become addicted. So you just did the, you puffed, your mother caught you, she slapped your wrist. What happened to you, Blanca?
We'll
tell our stories. We just want to hear your story.
Neither of my parents were smokers, and I think that's also a factor.
But uh-huh. they named you after a cigar. Carta Blanca is one of my favorites. But your dad wasn't a cigar smoker, right?
No.
Yeah. Mom was.
Do you know what happened
no
to me?
No smokers. But I think that all influences.
Blanca?
Yes.
Do you want to hear what happened to me?
What happened to you?
I got my first job. I was 16, and I worked at a Stop and Shop. And for the first time, and I believe that then you had to be 16. And so to me, because I was 16, and what is it now to legally purchase? Is it 18?
18.
Okay, it was 16 back then. It was like, well, I can't drink. And it was like, I could do this. And because I worked at Stop and Shop, guess what they gave you when you had a job? First thing they gave you. First thing an employer gives you...
A key.
No, smoke breaks.
Oh,
that's right. Quick five-minute breaks.
So I think the answer is, well, they do in sweatshops. Just work the kids. Don't give them any breaks.
Well,
what'd you do on your smoke break?
Exactly yeah. the way I started was working at a place like that where you're sitting there, mm-hmm. there's cigarettes in front of you, you get bored, you go, I think I'll try one of these.
And I'm just trying to give you ideas for other campaigns.
Well, we could call it a Twinkie break. And it's not as addictive.
Well, okay, see, we'll me, have fat kids.
For me, it was takes 3 minutes to get the seeds out, a minute to roll it up.
And yet, seeds
actually,
in tobacco?
From one of the
oh,
tobacco
I'm sorry,
executives.
Are we talking tobacco?
Yeah. Jeez.
I was so off base here.
I can sure see the good intentions of this campaign, but boy, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about it. You're in Florida, we're up here on the West Coast, but these people in tobacco country, how do you suggest they make a living? I mean, you're not going to just up and quit a job like that the way the economy is right now.
Well, we're not. The ads were intended to find people who have quit and to ask them to join the campaign. This is just a small part.
Right.
The ads are just the beginning. And, you know, one of the things that really appeals to teenagers is to tell the truth.
Education happens just a little bit at a time.
Someone has been there.
Yeah.
Right. Right. This is
right.
just a
especially
small
in the
part
South.
Of it. Yeah. And so we're not asking them to quit, but if they have quit, we wanted to let them know there's some place they can call, they can get involved, maybe there's something on their mind they want to talk about.
Hey, Blanca, did you see that movie The Outsider?
Yes,
or,
I did.
Or The Insider, I'm sorry.
The Outsider.
Makes a lot more sense.
It was The Outsider?
The Insider.
The Insider, with Kurt Russell Crowe.
Right.
As
right.
the tobacco insider who spills his guts to the media. That's like, you guys, that's your Ten Commandments, isn't it?
Well, again, who better to know what Big Tobacco's up to than someone that's been on the inside and
yeah.
now wants
right.
to talk?
Could effective you... advertising campaign, Blanca. Who thinks these up? Do you all sit around and brainstorm? Do you have an ad agency?
We actually have a teen panel who works with advertising agencies that goes over all the ideas. And this whole campaign came out of what teens thought. And the reason it really talks about the truth and is humorous and sort of it appeals to the whole rebelliousness of teenagers is because teenagers said from the beginning, hey, don't give us the health messages. Don't tell us it's bad for you. We're not listening to that. We've heard all that before and we're still smoking.
Right.
So it's a teen panel that sort of goes through all the ideas that any ad agency comes up with, and those are the ads that get through. And
all
they've
right.
been very effective. Teen smoking is down in Florida since the program began by 40% among middle school students and 18% among high school students.
Them are good numbers.
Yeah, those are good numbers.
Congratulations.
And they keep getting better. And
what about, are you going to do anything similar about drugs?
Actually, we may be moving into that direction.
Right.
Because that's something that the Department of Health is looking into now.
Dope dealers don't take their daughters to work, though.
Whole,
so that campaign won't work. they're basically, they abandon
it. All this will be yours. All of this will be yours. Everything over here. Those guys with the guns, the limousines, everything will be yours.
Daddy, how do you do all this?
I work 26 hours a day for you, baby.
So you have to take a different campaign. Dope campaigns, you know, the most effective one ever was the Brain on Drugs one and showed an egg in a frying pan.
That was very
that was
effective.
Good. Pot. Pot has as much tar as seven cigarettes. Isn't that right?
Well, there's other additives in cigarettes that are completely different. In fact, tobacco companies actually have admitted their secret ingredient is ammonia.
Ammonia?
Yeah.
No kidding.
If you only knew what all the ingredients were.
What else is in there?
But it's all geared to...
Don't they also have animals that die in the Columbines and get trapped in there, too? Aren't you smoking some dead rats?
You'll have to talk to the big tobacco about that.
Okay. Blanca Mesa, spokesperson for the Florida State Department of Health. Thank you, Blanca.
Well, thank you.
All right. Good luck with the campaign. Okay. We'll be watching. Can we talk to you again?
Sure. Talk to us anytime.
All right.
We'll send you some commercials.
All right.
See what we're up to.
We'll run them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
You're on.
How old are you? Please tell us.
I'm young.
Okay, Reagan. When was he president?
If we guess, will you tell us?
No.
If we get well, the three of us will guess and say who's closest. I'm going to say she's 26.
I'm going to say 22.
22?
And fresh Spike? Out of college.
19 in a day.
Well, you know, I will go with Aldo. I like them all.
She's old as
she's
all
over
that.
30.
All right.
Thanks but a lot.
Thank you, hon.
Okay,
bye-bye. First there were hippies, then came yuppies. Now, according to David Brooks, there's a new group of people emerging in America. Brooks calls them Bobos. He writes about this new generation in Bobos in Paradise, the new upper class and how they got there. Now, I'm reading a little bit about they did not get us the book in time.
Right.
Which occasionally happens. It's, you know, it's just Federal Express.
Usually that'll hamper your ability to interview an author.
But not in our case, because we're Bobos.
We are Bobos. Yeah. We are these people. This is our story.
I think. Are you there, Dave?
Here I am, yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. You describe Bobos, I've got the bio, you've described Bobos as a combination, it's short for bourgeois bohemians. Is that right?
That's right. They're half hippies, like bohemians, and half yuppies. So they're the people you see at REI in downtown Seattle with their thrusting calves, black T-shirts, little ponytails. They look like they just escaped from the Norwegian Olympic team.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask him what bourgeois means, and is that like what you see on Frasier? Like,
Niles making Crane? Money. The bohemians are the rebels. They're the ones who are, you know, I'm a free spirit. I'm looking at the beach, looking at the sunset. But the bourgeois are the people who are merchants, who are buying and selling stuff.
So we're people who make money, but also are stuffy. And sort of also hippies at the same time.
Yeah, there are people who consider themselves sort of creative and rebels, but they just happen to be making $2 million a year working in Redmond, Washington.
Okay, well, you left us out now.
You don't actually have to make that much. You just have to be the sort of person who takes ideas and emotions and turns them into products. And when you make the money, you renovate your kitchen so big it looks like an aircraft hangar with plumbing.
Right.
The big sub-zero refrigerator.
Right.
So if you got just wouldn't be cold enough for you.
So if you got a veggie burrito stand in front of a dead show, when you turn that into a multi-million-dollar franchise of organic burrito stands at all major malls and
world
wraps,
donate your proceeds to the rainforest.
A portion of your proceeds.
A
portion which nobody ever sees. So where was that portion? Where did that portion go?
Oh, well, right to the Indian folks. Those little nose bone people. Yeah.
37 cents.
So let me get this straight. Like, are Ben and Jerry Bobos, or are they hippies?
Oh, man, they're Bobo. They're the king of Bobos.
They're the king of Bobos.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
You know, if you're going to start an ice cream company, you want it to have its own foreign policy.
Yeah.
How about Bill Gates? Is he in that same class?
Yeah, he's a perfect Bobo, too, because, you know, he dresses, or at least he did recently, like some graduate student who was just wandering around the quads.
Right.
And yet he's this incredibly successful businessman. You know, I went out to Microsoft dressed in a suit and tie one day, and they looked at me like Dr. Bizarro had come from Mars.
You know, I have seen that. I've done some work on the campus at Microsoft, and when people come in and if it's their first trip to Microsoft and their old school business, that is death. Wearing business clothes is a sign that you just don't belong.
You are so old wave.
Oh, God, yeah. And so they won't do a deal with you. At that point, you know, you walk in and they look at you. And it used to be the other way around, didn't it?
Yeah, and I've interviewed these 60-year-old CEOs, and now they have to prove how hip and young they are. Mm-hmm. So they talk like they're 16. So you'll say, "Well, how'd the IPO go?" And they'll go, "Oh man, it cratered."
That was
the sales meeting. Serious mind rub,
dude.
We're still trying, aren't we? We're still trying to be our own selves. And you know, my kids watch that 70s show. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed. I mean, I think there ought to be a law banning that. I don't want them to see that. I don't want to see where we came from.
Do you also burn your family albums?
Yeah. Well, I would like to, but my wife has already posted them all over the house. So where are we headed with this? Here's the question. What kind of senior citizens are we going to make?
I was trying to figure out how, first of all, you know we're going to change funerals, because Bobos who are like creative at everything can't just die normally. They've got to be lowered into the grave with Pink Floyd wailing. They've got to have sort of Led Zeppelin albums painted on their coffins, you know, album covers, things that are meaningful. And the other thing is just, you know, I can't imagine there's being a Bobo Last Judgment, because the Bobos are not sort of either or. I was thinking there may be a Bobo Last Discussion, where you just have sort of a Charlie Rose seminar show.
This is kind of embarrassing.
And the Angel of Death will come on, you know, carrying a gardening trowel from Smith & Hawken instead of a scythe.
This is embarrassing for me.
Because the Bobos are very upscale, and you know, they want to spend their money, and they want to die in ways to show how spiritually superior they are.
David is caught up on this whole Bobo thing.
Dave, I've already commissioned the tombstone maker to do the chisel of the guy from inside Zeppelin 4 holding the lantern. I swear to God, that's my tombstone. I can't believe you nailed me like that.
Well, when are you planning on using it?
Not for a long time, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
The album will still be good. Still be in the top 100, won't it?
Yes, it will. That's true. You know, we, as baby boomers, and most of us, it sounds like, fit into this Bobo category to some degree or another, but as baby boomers, we have the power right now, don't we? I mean,
that's for sure. I mean,
we control everything.
That's sort of the idea of the book, that, you know, I wrote the book because I came back from Europe, where I was living in the first half of the 90s, and I noticed all of American culture had been changed by the information age, now where there were these Whole Foods organic grocery stores where people were buying vegetarian dog biscuits and all-natural hair coloring, because if you're going to artificially color your hair, you want it to be all-natural. And so it turned out that there was a new elite, and this elite was shaping culture not only for themselves, but for the rest of us. They were deciding what was cool and what wasn't, and they were determining what the media covered and all sorts of things. So the book's really a description of, you know, how the way we live now and the rules for living in America in 2001.
How do you get a book like this sold? I'm curious of the conversation you had with Simon & Schuster. Is it you or an agent?
Yeah, what you do is you go out and your agent takes you to 14 different publishing houses. And the first thing you learn is that people who edit books are on average about 12 years old. So you feel really old. And then you say, see all these Starbucks? That's not just Starbucks. There's something going on in America. And gradually they begin to get it. So you had to
convince younger people that this was a movement?
Yeah, and people with not much historical memory. The odd thing about selling a book these days is some people want to see a videotape of you on TV. So they want to know how you look on TV before they'll sign you up to write a book. I didn't go with a house that asked for that, because I wanted to go with a house that actually cares about what's in the book.
And because you're ugly.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just guessing.
This is radio.
I mean, that's why I'm on the radio, I figured you must be the same thing.
The radio face phenomenon, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, authors can be, you know, it's been said, authors can be even uglier than radio people. Think you can look like little trolls, little gnomes in your little cottages where you're writing and the thunder is crackling outside.
And the publishing house says, here's the 8x10 we've selected for the back of your book. This is who you'll be on the back of your book. He's a handsome man. He's not you.
Well, that's why on romance novels, they don't put the author on the romance novel.
Right.
Because it's usually some really ugly looking woman.
I've got a picture of Brad Pitt on the back of my book.
There you go. All right. What's your next book going to be about, David? Have you thought about it yet?
I'm just working on what it means to be American, how being American shapes our personality, the way we buy, and why we're so different from the rest of the world, that sort of thing.
Really? And that's going to become more and more interesting as we start fighting with the rest of the world.
Yeah, we'll have to be reminded, because we'll be shooting missiles at them.
One of the saddest stories seen in the news in a while comes from Bemidji, Minnesota. Is that how you pronounce it?
I really don't know. I'd never heard of this town before, and it's a pretty small one.
It must be real small. Floyd Haichu in Bemidji, Minnesota, wanted to dig his mother's grave as a final tribute. Now he is buried beside her. You see, last Friday, Haichu spent much of the day at the cemetery digging the grave by hand for his mother, Stella, who had died at the ripe old age of 78. But his heart gave out. He collapsed and died as he was chatting with family and friends who had dropped by to keep him company while he dug.
Just go watch him dig that grave. What else going on?
What is it? Bemidji?
Bemidji?
Bemidji. Mike's got the pronunciation guide for the world. It's sad, but it's also kind of touching. If, you know, a lot of times husband and wives will die, like, within a week of each other because they're so close, they're inseparable. I mean, this is a mama's boy with a bad heart. Maybe it's, you know, nice that he's with his mother.
He wasn't that old. I mean, he's my age. He's, what, 38, 39 years old.
Could you dig your own grave?
Would you dig your mother's grave? First off, your mother's big like you, right?
It would be a mighty big hole.
A lot of digging, Bubba.
That's right. And under doctor's advice, you shouldn't do it.
Probably not. Although this story, when I read that, I said that is about the most touching thing you could do is...
dig your own mom's grave.
Yeah.
And you know what? I thought of that, too, because my mom passed away 4 years ago now.
You thought about it when you heard this story?
Yeah, when I heard the story. No, it never occurred to me.
You didn't think about it 4 years ago.
No.
I'm telling you, that's kind of weird in my mind.
Not when we were making the arrangements. No, you do that. That'd be fine.
That seems like a... I don't know if that's a touching tribute, but it seems a little off the beaten track for me. Mm. You know, digging a grave? That's a tribute to your mom?
I know. We all don't like to look at death, but it's a part of the life cycle. And, you know, what do you suppose people did before we had all these services?
Yeah, in the boonies, you dug your own grave.
Well, every place used to be the boonies. You would do it in your own backyard.
Oh, that's odd.
I think it'd help bring a little closure to the situation, too.
I mean, dig, yeah.
You get a lot of time to reflect on her life as you're sitting there. Yeah, one shovel full at a time.
Yeah.
I know I've buried dogs and stuff.
I buried a parakeet once.
You always feel a little better when you...
In a shoebox?
In a shoebox. How'd you know?
I did, too.
Yeah.
And don't you feel better? I mean, if you hadn't gone out there and laid that thing to rest, if you'd just thrown them out in the garbage can, wouldn't it have been a lot worse?
Well, my only reason for burying it was to knowing that I could dig it up in 6 months and see how the worms were doing.
I did that, too. That's a guy thing, isn't it? Bury some pet and then dig it up later and go, wow, that's what happens.
I don't think that was this man's motivation.
No, not at all.
How do you know?
Anyway, he collapsed. And I figured we would give this a try. We have a feature called Is There Anybody Out There? And we tried this 3 weeks ago on our first day on, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And we actually got a call. The idea is to take these oddball things and ask, is there anybody out there who's done this? And see, because you'll be surprised. Sometimes you come up nothing. Sometimes you come up with something. Is there anybody out there who has dug a grave? For either a family member, friend...
You can exclude professionals from this? Because there are professional grave diggers.
Well, I would like, actually, a professional grave digger would be interesting to talk to, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a family member.
A human.
A human who's dug a human grave for someone they know.
I don't think you're going to find one of those, man. I think this is a kind of a freaky little tribute.
You really think that's rare? I don't know. I'm not sure it's that rare.
I could see hand chiseling the coffin. You know, get the woodworking tools out, you know, maybe do something nice that way for Mom.
Is there anyone out there who's built their own coffin? That's a good one, too.
If you're going to cut costs, then one of the simplest ways to do it would probably do the labor involved just from a practical standpoint of digging that grave.
You imagine going to a funeral or a cemetery and negotiating your deal? Well, what if I dug the hole myself? What would the price be then?
Well, the town of Bemidji, Bemidji. I'll never get it right. Why should I care? The town of Bemidji has a population of 11,245. The city features an 18-foot statue of Paul Bunyan and his ox.
It's a logging town. In fact, this guy was a logger, which kind of surprises me, too, that loggers generally are pretty healthy people.
Hmm. Well, we are coming up craps on the anybody out there who dug a grave.
Told you.
I just think they're shy. Here's the phone number again. 888-947-8338. Meantime, we have some phone numbers for Bemidji. Joe did a little research. Oh, Joe, you found someone with the same last name?
I would imagine this is the probably the father, and I don't know, you know, if we want to bother him in his time of mourning.
No.
In a town of 11.
I do.
What would you say?
Sorry for your loss twice. You know, console him a little bit. Ask him how he's coping with stuff. Ask him if the media been bugging the crap out of him.
Like we are right now.
Ask him how much a funeral costs in Bemidji. Can we help with anything?
She also has a number for Arlen's Barbershop. Now, that'd be more interesting to call.
I imagine there at least you'd get somebody a little more.
But Mike is taking a phone call now. We may have someone who dug their own grave.
Hello, well believers. Hello, good morning. I've dug many graves in my time.
I'm telling you, it's not that uncommon. And it doesn't have to be, no, it doesn't have to be weird. It can just simply be a tradition in your family.
It's like a lot of people go out and cut their own trees at Christmas and wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes, it is.
It's family tradition.
The more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm thinking that would be as Joe said, it's closure.
It doesn't cost you anything and lets up your life in this
Okay,
case.
Now we have what we asked for on Is There Anybody Out There? By the way, we need a fancy sounder for Is There Anybody Out There? Something like that Pink Floyd song.
Is There Anybody Out There?
Yeah, because we're going to do this every day. All right, John, where are you located, John?
In Las Vegas.
Right downtown or where exactly?
Henderson.
Henderson?
Yeah.
Don, you were listening to us talk and it took you a while to call. Why?
Why? Well, I had to think twice, maybe three times about it, because the person I dug a grave for is still alive.
Oh.
If they hear this call, is that going to screw up your plans?
Well,
it
might.
Is this a real grave or just a hole out in the desert somewhere?
Well, you're right. It is a hole out in the desert. It was intended to be a grave. I had a stone made up and everything.
Oh, man. Are you a sick person before we go on?
Sick person?
No, you sound okay.
Oh yeah, I'm okay.
All right. So what are the circumstances with which and who is the grave for?
Ex-girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
So
I mean, I didn't want to scare her to death, but I did want to go and let her know that I still cared about her in a unique kind of way.
He's
so
sick.
We went out to I had a gravestone made up for her, and went out and started digging the grave and, made some video and sent it back. You know, it took about 4 days, day by day, hoping that maybe she'd show up.
She'd come back to you.
She'd come back to me, absolutely.
John.
Just doing those time-lapse videos like they do when they build stadiums, and you just see digging the hole.
No, I wish I would have thought about that. But, and then...
Wait a minute, John. Honest, were you?
Yeah.
Were you trying to win her back?
Well, yeah. I mean,
what was the premise?
Do the nasty in the casket.
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Was she that kind of girl? Would that have appealed to her?
Well, she often said that I acted like a dead man, so I wanted.
Can you start the day without caffeine? If you could start the day without caffeine, if you could get along without something to pep you up, if you could always be cheerful, if you could ignore your aches and pains, if you could resist complaining and boring people with your troubles. In our case, we'd be out of work, but hang on. If you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every single day, the same exact food, and be grateful for it, if you could understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can overlook it when those people who love you take it out on you, when, through no fault of yours, something goes wrong, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can ignore a friend's limited education and never correct that person, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you could face the world without lies and deceit, if you could conquer tension and require no medical help, no aspirin, no nothing, if you could relax without liquor, if you could sleep without the aid of drugs, if you can honestly say that deep in your heart you have no prejudice at all against creed, color, religion, or politics, then, my friends, you are almost as good as a dog.
Oh, hey. That's Awesome.
Isn't that nice?
That's my Lola.
Here's a little puppy right now. Come on in here, puppy. Always go over it again here. No caffeine, no pep pills, always cheerful. Ignores aches and pains. Resists complaining. Does not bore people with his troubles. Eats the same food every day. And happy about it. Can take criticism and blame. Bad dog. Can ignore a friend's limited education. I didn't get that one. What does that mean?
It means you're dumber than your dog.
Can face the world without lies and deceit. Sometimes the dog's a little sneaky when it's going to steal something off the table, though. If you can honestly say deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed, color, religion, or politics, you're almost as good as a dog. Someone sent me that on the internet. Very nice.
That's a beautiful thing.
What's that, Mike?
I hate that band Creed. Does that count?
You hate Creed?
I hate Creed. I discriminate against Creed.
Well, all right, you're not as good as your dog.
Oh, rats.
Mike knows that anyway. Mike is a, how many dogs?
Three.
Three dog house. How many other animals?
Like five.
Five more animals?
Don't tell the city of Edmonds, though.
How many big enough to so that their poop matters? That's the question.
Yeah, here, here.
Two, really.
Other than the dogs.
And a horse.
Big dog and a horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
So animal poop is a huge part of your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, just poop in general, Bob.
Well.
Well, who doesn't have that?
Yeah. But usually I'm proud of mine. And I wouldn't want others competing, other poop competing in the same house. I hate it when our
competitions. Well, why be number one if you can't live and flaunt it and enjoy the victory?
You get it? Yeah, our dog is a beagle. Beagle, hardest dog to housebreak.
I didn't know that.
I don't know why. Mostly they're bred for hunting, and when the and this may be why when the hunter when they're bred for hunting, oftentimes they live in a pack, in a pen. And they're kept by people who, you know, well, they're never inside a lot of the times.
Yeah, they're rabbit dogs. They're out for chasing rabbits, what they're bred to do.
Right. So they, you know, there's not much care over the... Because generation to generation, dogs learn.
You breed it out of them.
Right.
It's completely natural.
We first got our dog. It was like the kids wanted a dog. And like this one was going to be real cute. And it's... You know, Lisa and I discuss it. It's fairly small, you know. Mm-hmm. And we found out afterwards, because we called the guy we got the dog from. Listen, we've swatted this thing with, like, every newspaper from right up to the New York Times, and it's still pooping all over the house.
Oh, they do that.
Yeah.
That's a natural thing for beagles. They're one of the largest poop producers of any breed on the planet. I'm surprised we didn't tell you that before you bought it.
We had the dog home 5 minutes. So, just warn you about that breed. Other breeds are a lot easier. You look at them really sternly once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
You give them that, you pissed me off. The beagle just looks at you when you're pissed off. It squirms, its tail's between its legs. But its brain is trying.
Where are the birds? Where are the birds?
No, you know what I mean? It's just not that smart. Yeah.
We had Irish setters when I was a kid. Dumbest dog on the planet.
Irish setters. Oh, an Irish setter, if it sees a bird across the street, it doesn't see the semi-tractor trailer truck.
I lost three of them that way.
My friend Mark lost a Irish setter. Beautiful. Shane was the dog's name. Beautiful.
Gorgeous red
horse.
Coat.
Oh,
flowing in the breeze.
It's very dumb that
There's
way.
Nothing you can do.
You know, I was thinking about you yesterday, Mike, because I was we took our dog for a walk, and as it was walking, I was thinking of how stupid it was.
And you thought
no, I mean,
of me?
What's your
I
dog's
thought
name,
about because
Bob?
The dog is named Betsy.
Oh, that's cute.
Here's the thing. The dog, I mean, animals are stupid. Pretty much. I mean, I'm going to let you tell me that in some ways they're smarter than humans. There are certain things about them that are. But their brain is dumb. And I was thinking, because, like, when we walk with our dog, Lisa talks to it as if it understands. And it gets really annoying because I'm sitting here, I'm going, it's a dog. And she's like, come on, let's go in the car. Let's do this. Let's do that. Hey, come back here. And I'm like, and the dog is oblivious.
It's like that Far Side cartoon. Blah, 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 Betsy. Blah, 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 Betsy. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 treat. The dog knows. Well, the dog knows the word treat, but she overuses the word when she has no treat. Do you know what I mean? Come on, treat, treat. I got you now.
Oh, look, treat Williams.
So it's, you know, I mean, the dog, not only is it dumb to begin with, but unless you're consistent with a dog, you confuse the hell out of it. And so we were walking around yesterday, and I thought of Mike, because I know how much he loves animals. And I thought, you know, that's very nice. Because Mike is a smart guy. He's smart enough to know how dumb his animals are, and he loves them anyway.
Well, dogs can have vocabularies over 100 words.
Ruff!
Recognize a lot of words.
Where'd the ball go? Ruff!
I think dogs are a lot like kids. They have selective hearing. They hear treats because
that's right.
They like it.
Oh, and I think my wife has screwed up the raising of the dog just like the children. I mean, she says she doesn't mean it, and then the dog thinks... Because here's how the day started, okay? The day started is we're going for a walk. Mm-hmm. And as usually happens when we get in the car, Lisa says, do you want to take the dog? And the dog is sitting on the sidewalk, as if the dog understands this conversation. Do you want to take the dog? Dog sitting there, tail wagging just a little bit, sees car, sees exhaust coming out of car, sees a chance to maybe hop in car. And I always say what I always say, no. It'll get lost, because our dog is not the kind of dog that stays with you.
Nice little runner.
If you have the dog on a leash, it is, I mean, you're getting an arm workout, but it is yanking you the whole time. And people who see you with our dog on a leash, they think we're abusing the dog, because it's like, that poor dog, the collar is so loose. And I feel bad. I mean, once, when we first got the dog, and Mike will tell me how horrible this is, I got one of those choke collars, because I thought, I'll teach the little bugger. But some animal rights dog huggers saw me on the trail, and boy, did they scold me.
How would you like to be told by the leader? Actually, I kind of dig it.
Some people pay for that in Vegas. You know, you go to a little hotel room, and you pay
top dollar.
You have to know how to use it. Betsy was probably doing her end properly.
What is a choke? A choke collar's bad to you, right?
No, not necessarily. Oh. We call them training collars, not choke collars.
Because when used properly, you're not choking, right?
Right.
And you only use them certain times?
Right, exactly. Right. There shouldn't be tension on it unless there has to
but
be.
But what if you have a dog that wants to run and is constantly choking?
Well, you just have to work with the dog and train the dog to walk politely.
Train that little
it's
stupid.
It's stupid. How do I do that?
I'll bring my dog into work. He's very well trained on the leash.
All right. Well, that's
and you say she's done the same thing with the kids?
Yeah, she has.
Car.
Well, she'll say...
Want a car? Want a car? Want a car? Come on, car. Come on.
No, she'll say, turn off the TV. Turn off the TV. Turn off the TV. And all the kid hears is blah, 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 blah.
TV.
TV. TV. Oh, I'm watching TV. That's right. And then she will never follow. See, if I say, turn off the TV, I don't just say it and leave the room. I walk it down and I say, TV will be off now. And they look at me like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I go, off. And they look at me and they go, all right, he ain't going to leave.
What point do you hit him with the paper?
I don't hit him with the paper. My dad hit me with the paper and it
me
left
too,
scars.
Man. Yeah. I still got ink print on my
I actually
head.
Got hit with a newspaper once.
I did too.
And it was really, he was about to discipline the dog, but I just happened to be nearby.
He's like a dog kid. Okay, kid went.
No, I think I did something wrong right at the same time as the dog.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about how stupid they are and... You know,
well,
how
keep in mind that Lassie was the first reality TV. They're not that.
That was not reality.
No, Lassie was a perfect example of that's a lie. A dog can never be that smart.
There's all kinds of stories about how dogs save people from burning houses and stuff like that.
Sure.
That Lassie.
Oh,
did.
Because they know, all they're thinking is bowl of food. That's who puts it in.
they know where they get their food.
I mean, they're primitive. They're very simple. They're lovable, I still think.
And loyal to a fault, I think. Yes. Dogs are loyal. Man's best friend there.
Yeah. Although our dog is very good at an emotion that I'm a little surprised. It has this emotion very well. Guilt. There is nothing like a guilty-looking dog. I could walk in the garage, and by the look on her face, I can know there is a turd here somewhere.
Before your nose even picks up the scent, you
know. Oh, you did a bad one, huh? and I don't even care anymore. It's why it's in the garage. The other thing our dog did recently is it killed one of our baby chicks.
And well, but that's what bad. The dog was bred for. Now, wait a minute.
Well, but they get that taste of blood. Isn't that supposed to be bad? It makes them go back for more. Once you've had baby chick, you
don't go back.
You do go back. That's what I've heard.
Well, and it was being real nice to the chicks for a long time.
It was winning their confidence. That dog's smarter than you know.
No, it just didn't think of it.
Who wants to go for a walk?
And I think it was, Mike, it might have been just playing with the chick. And then surprise, it's dead.
Maybe. Some dogs have real strong prey drives, though, and they just kick in and they decide to chase something and catch it.
Right. But my dog was smitten with guilt. And when I opened the door, uh-huh. It was like totally down to the floor with paws over the nose. Uh-huh. And tail between the legs.
Little orange feathers hanging out of her mouth.
What did you do? What do you mean what I do, dumbass? I got feathers in my mouth. What do you think I did? Please don't hit me with the paper.
Yeah. Fortunately, only one of the chicks. There was another chick, and it went behind a cabinet. And there was this little hole that chick could only get in, couldn't get out. It went behind a cabinet.
Oh.
And it was just in there for like 3 days. And we thought there's another dead one around here somewhere.
And there will be.
Well, and I went out, and my son, who has better hearing than me because they didn't have Pete Townsend when he was growing up, Andrew said, I hear it. Cheep, 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 cheep. And it was behind a cabinet. And so we put a bunch of food there, and it wouldn't come out. There's dog out there.
Hey, you crazy? I ain't going out there.
Eventually, after like 12 hours, it came out.
Must have been a nightmare to see its brother go that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Except that, I don't know, I think animals accept death a lot more readily than humans, because in the animal kingdom, death is just a part of day-to-day. Where's Fred? Got eaten. That's
and
just
coyote not... got him.
Yeah. I mean, do they grieve like we do, Mike?
I don't know if they grieve, but I think they know it when they see it.
They know to avoid it if they see it.
Oh, yeah, Fred got... Oh, Crane! Look at Crane!
It's tiny little brains.
You ever wonder what animals are thinking? I was doing that yesterday, and I thought, well, they're pretty dumb. But they have these wonderful emotional qualities that humans only wish for. Robert Downey Jr., did you see him last night on Access Hollywood?
Yeah.
It's really sad.
He's got that look down, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm a coke freak who can't stay out of alleys and spend money in drugs. I feel like a big dope.
Well, but he's still trying to turn on the charm. You can tell he's trying to schmooze his way out of it.
I'm sorry. Aren't I cute?
Don't you want to see Allie with a good-looking guy like me?
He does does stay pretty good looking for a coke freak. I mean, usually
it can be done.
It takes its toll on you.
Yeah, but if you're in Hollywood, it can be done.
My, that's one good looking coke freak there. That certainly is.
It's harder for a woman, I think, to be a good looking coke freak. It's just too women are just a little more delicate.
Well,
guys,
they don't eat anyway.
Right, and if they don't eat, we
don't give
Calista like
Flockhart any. Imagine
you give Calista Flockhart some coke,
she'd
and
she'd implode, man.
You just sweep her up afterwards. No, but guys, if they get a little bit of the little slight rugged bags under the eyes. In fact, I saw his booking photo, his going into jail photo, with a slightly unshaven look, and you know, like he'd been up for 3 days.
Well, was it the newest one or one of the? They go to the stock footage. On
yeah,
that?
I don't know which one. But he looks, you know, he looks rough and rugged.
Rugged.
The kind. I don't know why chicks dig that.
The Indiana Jones and for some more coke look.
Yeah.
I'll always think of him as Chaplin. That's where I really became a fan of his work. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Chaplin. But
no.
Oh, he's brilliant in that, yeah.
He embodied Charlie Chaplin. And you'd almost have to be on something to have done as good a job as he did. I mean, he had that little walk like Chaplin does.
That's how he goes down the alley looking for coke.
Now that I reflect on it, maybe that was it. He was great in that film.
Also in showbiz news today, Jerry Seinfeld, who retired at the top of his game with the Seinfeld show, is apparently missing show business, I think you could say. One day after turning 47, he's returning to stand-up comedy circuit. He's doing a six-city tour. He appeared on several shows, and is just back. And did you see him?
Saw him on Letterman.
And you said he was, like, top form.
He was hilarious. I mean, he was brilliantly top form.
Right. Is he still talking about, like, ordinary everyday?
What's up with that? Completely. The what's up with that is still there.
You think he could?
But it was fresh.
It was still a fresh what's up with that?
It was completely fresh. Just Parenthood, my kid, what's up with that?
You think that's
it was
going to last, though?
It was funny as hell. I mean, funny sells. I don't care what
so form. Far you've given me what's up with that. Do you remember anything else?
He put his kid to work. He has a brand new baby girl. So here she is. Here she is answering my phone. Take calls. She works cheap. I mean, I'm not doing any justice. He was funny.
No, you're not.
He was funny. That's why I'm here doing this with you and not doing six cities around the country with Jerry Seinfeld.
Right, okay. But he was funny.
He was hilarious.
I take your word for it. You're a good judge of funny. Here's where he's going to be. Baltimore, Rochester, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, Boston, Minneapolis, and Pittsburgh.
No West Coast cities. What's up with that?
Well, last month he did Oakland.
It was robbed.
It was
He was robbed at gunpoint.
Was he?
No, it's Oakland.
No. Anyway, so no, it's apparently just East Coast. When you're that retired and that rich, you can do what you want, where you want.
And those people deserve something, because the Lord knows that all those cities, I wouldn't want to live in any of them. Rochester, New York, Pittsburgh, those are bad
places. You think he can write this off as community service?
Maybe so.